Welcome back, everyone. This is the Prepared Mindset Podcast, and you're listening to the March Sit Rep episode. Guys, if this is your first time in, welcome. We do these discussions at the beginning of every month, typically anyways. It's the first Sunday of any given month, talking about current events, current affairs, things that are going on in the world that I think are probably of interest to most of us, right, as prepared individuals out there in the world, as conservative Americans who have a, how shall we say, specific view on how the world maybe we think should work, right? We try to roll it all together. The normal week-to-week podcast is usually, it's guest interviews. We get into some pretty specific topics we want to dive into. Things around preparedness, training, shooting, personal capability, right? Learning. And these discussions are skewed a little bit more towards just the information side and then obviously very much my opinion baked into them on what's going on, what we could see happening, all that good stuff. And certainly this is, probably going to be one of the busier discussions I think that we're going to have in the scope of the sit rep discussions in 2025. Have a whole bunch of stuff to get into. We had a statement, and I wouldn't really call it a proclamation, but it seems like that, right, from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth on the troops. We're going to talk about the Zelensky visit to the White House to meet with Trump and Vance, which it looked like it was going to go well and then kind of didn't at the very end there. We're also going to talk about what's going on with Israel and Hamas, because there's been some developments there. It's something that I think for the last year and a half has been, it's been on the radar, right? There's been a lot going on since October 7th of 2023. We're also going to talk about Kash Patel being appointed as the director of the FBI and acting director of the ATF, because that carries some pretty big ramifications. Certainly something, anytime we talk about I would say leadership at the ATF level or the government level as it pertains specifically to the ATF, given that, the last several, last several years for sure, but have just been one misstep after another with, people who've been appointed to that role, who's been managing the ATF. They went so long without having a director and just had an acting director, which is, it's kind of an end around on the actual process. Oh, he's just an acting director. It's not permanent. It's temporary. I see that as a lot of, without getting too far into it right now anyways, I see that as like an end around in the process and go, hey, we like this guy, so we're going to call him an acting director, and we're just going to leave it sit there until we appoint somebody else, and it's kind of circumventing the process. It's not ever meant to be a permanent permanent role, permanent appointment, obviously. So we'll get into all of that, you guys. That's kind of what we do here on these sit-rep discussions. So with that, we are a sponsored podcast, you guys. Thank you so much for taking time out of your, hopefully it's your Sunday. These drop usually around midday on Sunday or Sunday morning, if I'm able to record in advance. And we have some outstanding companies that help make efforts like this possible week to week and month to month with the sit reps and then our weekly podcast episodes. And then certainly, right, our Patreon, our Instagram, our YouTube channel. If you guys are listening right now, please head on over to YouTube, check out the YouTube channel. I've seen some really inspiring growth over the last 4 or 5 months there with the content we're putting out, week to week, the information and all of that. Really, really fun stuff. Really excited about it all. Go check that out, you guys. It's the same name, Prepared Mindset, over on YouTube. Check out the videos, give them a like, hit the subscribe button and notification bell. But like I said, we have some great partners that make all of those efforts possible, and we want to tell you about them, starting with Custom Night Vision. You guys, night vision is awesome. If you're listening to this and you are one of those weird folks out there who thinks that night vision is somewhat or somehow unnecessary in any degree, I would respectfully disagree with you. I think that if you are serious about your preparedness, you need to look into the potential of night vision technology, because it's not exactly new. And a great place to start with that is customnightvision.com. They are a one-stop source for all things night vision related. So while they don't carry everything, they carry a whole hell of a lot, and they carry some of the best options out there on the market. So if you're looking to get into your very first night vision device, maybe you're a little bit on the budget side, great. They have a whole inventory of monocular or, you know, single tube, single eye devices like the venerable PVS 14 or the Tonto from the folks over at Nocturne. Or, you know, the RXM 14, there's all these other XM 14 designation devices, including like the MH14 from Lowlight Innovations, right? So you can pick out the housing that you like, and then you can pick the tube you want to go in. So whether it's a green phosphor from maybe Elbit or a Photonis, high gain or something like that, or you can get into an Elbit tube or even L3. Green phosphor, white phosphor, right? You can pick and choose what you want. You can look at the specs yourself and basically build your own unit right there through their website. On the homepage, there's actually a builder button. You can click monocular or binocular. So whether you're looking for that single tube device, or maybe you've been saving for a while, or maybe you just got a new job and a signing bonus or something, and you want to get into that nicer buy once, cry once housing like some RNVG Alphas or a Manticore or the new molded Katanas that just came out, or you know, the MH1s from Lloyd Innovations. You guys, again, customnightvision.com. Head over to the website. You can check all of that out for yourself. And if you're in need of more, they carry mounts. They carry helmets from Team Wendy. They carry lasers from companies like Steiner and B.E. Myers. You guys, customnightvision.com. Head on over there. Check it out for yourself. Let them know that Prepared Mindset sent you, and they're going to take excellent, excellent care of you. Now, we also want to say thank you to American Defense Manufacturing. You guys, their website where you can check out their upper receivers, their lower receivers, and their mounts is admfg.com. And they sent me out one of their 13.9 Mod 2 uppers with a Criterion Core barrel. I've been shooting that thing, trying to develop my own skills. Because here's the thing, guys. If you want to get into the precision game, if you want to get into building either, you know, a general purpose rifle or a special purpose rifle or a special purpose receiver or whatever, you need to buy something with good components that's well made and certainly very highly QC'd. And that's exactly what the folks over at American Defense Manufacturing do with all of their products. So whether that's the entire upper you're looking for, or perhaps you had a really bad experience with a very poorly made scope mount and you're looking to something like their Delta mount so that you can have a robust lockup on your scope and mounting to your upper receiver, but then also have the capability and ability to swap out different red dots mounted in the piggyback position. You guys, again, it's admfg.com. Head over to their website and check that all out for yourselves today. Next, we want to say thank you to our friends over at Orion Training Group. You guys, the website, it's oriontraininggroup.com. They're coming up here to Michigan in May 17th, May 18th. Battlefield CQB here in Westland, Michigan. We are super excited to have Jared and Jason come back because last year they came through. We had a lot of people sign up. We had people drop out of the class, and we were still able to backfill that like instantly. There's, you know, a void here in Michigan for this kind of training and information, and it's outstanding to be able to get Jared and Jason up here into Michigan to help address that, to teach things like structure clearance, teach things like, you know, team tactics that we otherwise, you know, wouldn't have access to, and a lot of folks don't have access to. And that's the true mission behind what Orion Training Group does, you guys. Again, it's oriontraininggroup.com. Head on over to the website right now. Pause this recording, go to the website, and check out their whole course catalog, the whole course list. You can find a class near you, or you can even reach out and contact the guys at Orion and see if there's a way to get them out to you maybe later this year or potentially next year. Bring the information to you, bring the training to your community, and help not just yourself, but those around you. And lastly, here you guys, thank you to 100 Concepts, their website is 100concepts.com, and the company motto, you guys know it, you love it, it's do good, be dangerous, and live free. I'm a huge fan of the work that the entire team at 100 Concepts is doing to bring solutions, you know, products, whatever, solutions is really what it is, to those of us out there in the field trying to be more capable, trying to be more aware of our limitations, of our risks, right? So things like the principles of camouflage with shine and reflection and things like that, where we may sometimes just be a little bit ignorant of it. So through the creation of their products, their solutions, right, the scope caps, the hex caps for your red dots, because if you guys know about red dot technology, there's a nice bright laminate that has to go on that front pane of glass so that that red dot technology, whether it's an aimpoint T2, you know, an LP1 from Lead and Steel, or some kind of hollow sun dot, they all have this, right? So having something to aid in cutting down the reflection, like the Hex Cap series from 100 Concepts is absolutely critical for your success in the field. And that's in addition to their great line of light caps, pro scope caps, their scrim, the chem light kits, the list goes on, you guys. They're absolutely outstanding dudes. Head on over to 100concepts.com today. Check it all out for yourself and pick up some new kit for yourself. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you deserve nice things. So, guys, seriously, a big thank you to all those companies. We go through this every episode, and it's great to be able to tell you guys about those companies because we were customers of all of them before. We run their kit, have run their kit. It's good stuff, and like, honestly, just go check it out for yourself. See what's in the budget. Be more capable. I know we talk a lot here about training, and you can't always buy your capability, and in most cases, honestly, you can't buy your capability, but you can greatly increase your chances of success having good gear and good kit around you. Now, excuse me, oof. Let's go ahead and let's dig into this week's discussion, this March sit rep episode. First, I just want to say this. So I know a lot of us have some pretty bitter tastes, myself included, to Hollywood, but did want to call out that actor Gene Hackman passed away. And I loved most of Gene Hackman's work in movies. I know French Connection, Uncommon Valor was a fantastic war film about rescuing POWs. A lot of you guys have seen the film Hoosiers, right? My favorite probably is the Keanu Reeves football film that he did called The Replacements. You know, Jon Favreau's in there. There's so many people on that cast that were just fantastic, and it's a hilarious film. One of my guilty pleasures. I like watching with my father whenever it's on TV, whenever I get the opportunity. But he actually left Hollywood early. You know, he retired relatively early, considering we see folks acting well into their 80s and potentially with Clint Eastwood, you know, like early 90s and stuff. He could have returned. People wanted him back in Hollywood for various roles and opportunities. He never went back. And he was found dead this week in his home with his wife and his dog, all dead. So seriously questionable. I don't have a whole lot of details on it. I think a lot of folks online were very quick to just jump to, oh, it's carbon monoxide poisoning. It's like, well, I don't know about that. The dog, if I'm remembering what I read correctly, the dog was found in the bathroom closet, which is weird. Who puts the fucking dog in the closet? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever hear anything more. We were also supposed to get the Epstein list. That was one of the things I was really wanting to cover in this iteration of the sit rep. And what was released was basically nothing. It was basically a joke. And I don't know if we will we ever see that information. We'll ever see the light of day. I don't know. At this point, it's just like the Kennedy documents. I think it's been in government hands for too long. There's been too much opportunity to destroy information, to hide that and insulate that information so well. I don't know if the American public's ever going to see it. I really don't. It's sad. It's terrible. But I think that, you know, we're dealing with a situation where you have so many names and impactful people, impactful in their, I mean, not in what they do necessarily, but in their wealth and their position, their station in society, if you will. I don't know that we'll ever actually see, you know, anything different come out of that. But yeah, Gene Hackman, rest in peace. Great actor. I think probably one of the better people that, you know, when you think back on Hollywood icons, doesn't have the sour taste in their mouth that so many people bring, I think, in 2025. But also moving on here, want to touch on this as well. It's not really a proclamation. I want to use the word proclamation because I feel like that sounds very like royalty-esque, right? Which so many people already look at the Trump administration as a bunch of filthy dictators, right? Excuse me. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth has made a statement or a series of statements that he is disqualifying all transgender troops from military service. And this is something I know a lot of people are going to cheer for. I don't really want to get too deep into it because my personal philosophy is, A, I don't want to push my beliefs necessarily on other people, right? I think a lot of you guys agree with that. We morally disagree with certain lifestyles, certain ways of living. That's fine. It doesn't mean I hate somebody because of it, but I do have a very deliberate or distinct, I think, opinion on military service. Now, and for whatever that's worth, like I didn't serve, so a lot of you guys listening to this will say, well, what the fuck do you know? But I don't think so in this case because I think most people were against the policies that were enacted by the previous administration. But here's some statements. These are some quotes I pulled that Secretary Hegseth made, which is, so two of them. One, service members who have a current diagnosis or history of or exhibit symptoms consistent with gender dysphoria are disqualified from military service. And then additionally, service members who have a history of cross-sex hormone therapy or a history of sex reassignment or genital reconstruction surgery as treatment for gender dysphoria or in pursuit of a sex transition are disqualified from military service. And, so those are the two quotes. And honestly, I do agree with it only because here's the thing. If we look at the need for being an effective warfighter, right? And then you also, in the scope of that, look at how some individuals transition out of military service and how many of these guys have to go into like testosterone replacement therapy and things like that. I'm not well read enough on it to comment on it from a scientific or health standpoint, but from a common sense standpoint, I'm going to say, look, if you need to be one of those meat-eating, pipe-hitting motherfuckers that's going to go out there and do stuff, and your hormone replacement therapy because your body's, we don't react and respond and heal quickly. A lot of that stuff takes time, right? So I agree with this. I do. I mean, the lifestyle, fine. Like, cool. I hope people are happy as long as, they kind of leave me out of it, and I would then obviously leave myself away from trying to change their lifestyle habits. I think, it's a whole separate discussion, but in a war zone, if your hormones and shit and your emotions and your body's all over the place, like war is difficult enough from a psychological standpoint and a physical standpoint and the stresses and rigors that it puts on the human body and mind. I think that this actually makes a lot of common sense. If you are one of those individuals that wants to, serve your country in that kind of a role or capacity, there's other ways to do it. There's a lot of other ways you can do it. And I wish anybody who really feels in their heart that they want to, live that lifestyle and serve their country, then hey, best of luck. I know there's a lot of different opportunities out there and a lot of different ways to support your country and things. It just isn't through the fighting military. And I think we saw an increase in enlistment in the military from people that were looking to leverage their military benefits and healthcare for those kinds of opportunities and operations and treatments, which, pursuant to some of the other financial related goals of this administration, I think that's why we're seeing this come out at the time that it is. I'm sure more will come of it. I'm sure there might be federal lawsuits. I'm sure, there's going to be more about it, for better or for worse. It's one of those things, I think, when we all take a step back and look at it, we'd rather not be dealing with this right now. I know there's more important things out there in the world, but I wanted to mention it because it's impactful. It's, a lot of you guys that listen are either current military, you are a reservist, you're former military, you're a veteran. So I know this would be of interest and wanted to make mention of it. But let's move on. So the next topic on my list is the Zelensky visit to the White House. And I always fucking love getting into Zelensky and his visits to the U.S. One of the things I think that will always be ingrained in my mind, we had growing up, right? We were going to school, we had history textbooks, right? And I still believe they use textbooks in schools. I haven't been in a minute, obviously. Coming up on 20 years almost, holy shit. But there were certain images, certain photos, certain chapters, right? I always found the Vietnam War and everything that went along with that to be very fascinating when I was in school. Certainly everything that went along with World War II, pictures of the meetings with, Stalin and Churchill and Roosevelt and things like that. Like those photos, there's just certain photos always like ingrained into your brain, right? Because when you learned of the impactfulness of what was going on, and then it's paired with that visual aid, like that together, right, there's like an imprinting that goes on in your mind. So to me, I bring this up because to me, when I think of Vladimir Zelensky, right, the picture that comes to my mind is the outrageous flying of the Ukrainian flag in the houses of U.S. government as citizens and taxpayers were helpless to stop our elected officials from sending billions and billions of our taxpayer dollars overseas to help finance that man's war. And so many fucking people online, right, got super butthurt when people said we shouldn't be doing this, because how can we not? We need to help them. It's our duty as Americans. They think that, well, and it's hilarious, right? Because people on the liberal side of the spectrum, typically, not all of them, but typically, right, they want to cut military spending. They want to slash the military budget. We don't need to spend all this money on our military, right? But at the same token, while they're screaming that we need to cut military spending, that, you know, the military industrial complex is an awful machine, and I'm not disagreeing necessarily with that, but you can't say that and then demand that we play world peacekeeper. We can't finance everyone else's war, send troops to everybody else's countries to fight their battles for them. And that's exactly, well, we didn't send troops, but we definitely sent the financial representation of that many troops over there with the billions and billions and billions of dollars. And then we have statements and things that came out afterwards like, oh, hey, the Pentagon failed the audit again. And by the way, we found like another, you know, $6 billion we accidentally, or whatever it was, right, that we accidentally sent over to Ukraine. And, oh, that's just an accounting error. And it's like, seriously, how many accounting errors were there then? You know, we heard about that one, but look, I digress. So, Trump and Vance and Zelensky sat down and met. Apparently, the first, you know, 50 minutes or something, 45 minutes of it, at least as I read, went pretty well. And I pulled a lot of this off of FoxNews.com. I try to research these things, obviously, before I sit down and just run my yap, but they sat down. Apparently, the feeling was that it went mostly well up until the end point where Zelensky, and I saw some clips of this and some recordings that were shared online, right? It went mostly well until Zelensky started trying to correct Vice President Vance, and then, I mean, you don't correct Donald Trump. I'm not saying the man's never wrong. I'm saying that there's a tactful way, a tasteful way, a correct way that you address the President of the United States, especially Donald Trump. And you know his personality, like, for better or for worse. I'm not saying the man's always right. I'm just saying that, like, we know how he reacts to things, specifically how he reacts to being told that he's wrong. And if you want to tell the man he's wrong, you best be on your fucking A game. You better bring it, man. You better step correct if you're going to, for all the things that Donald Trump does poorly. I know a lot of people don't like him on both sides of the political spectrum. There are plenty of people that think he's a terrible dude and he should not be the fucking president of the fucking United States of motherfucking America. There's a lot of people that think that. Now, you can't deny that he's usually pretty well-read on a lot of these issues. If you look at it and you take the emotion out of it, he's usually pretty well-read on stuff. It's very different from what we experience with Joe Biden. So telling the man that he's wrong, especially in the tone and tenor in which that Zelensky did it, where it was the entitlement started to come through, because look, it's been years since this war kicked off and Zelensky keeps coming back and he needs more money. He needs more money. He needs more money. And he doesn't seem to really go anywhere else. It's not like he's asking the countries of the world for support here. He's basically just coming back to the Bank of the United States. Like, hey, give us more money. We already gave him arms. We gave him javelins. The Trump administration gave him javelins to help fight tanks. We've given him billions upon billions of dollars. And I don't know if this is substantiated. I've read rumors and things online that they actually took a lot of the arms that we gave them and sold them for 20 cents or something like that on the dollar. So like an 80% markdown of what they're actually worth just to get more money. And it's like, well, what are you doing with all this fucking money? Like, what's happening here? And we see clips online of the war being fought. So there is conflict going on. But, coming out of this discussion, you know, Trump basically, I think, dropped the hammer. Like, we're not giving you more money, man. We're not. We can't. And he wasn't nice about it. And I think that's what you get when you start being an asshole and acting entitled to money that's not yours after you've already received so much. So now coming out of this, now I guess the Europeans, and I saw some posts from Fred, Counting Coup Tactical, on his story, European people and Canadians now too getting really uppity because the U.S. is basically saying that they're going to pull support. We're not going to keep footing the bill for this war. It's not ours to be solely responsible for. And we've already helped more than most countries put together have. But this is coming out of this now, and I pulled this specifically from Fox News. Coming out of this discussion, now the Europeans and Canada are talking loudly of a new muscular antithesis independent of U.S. promises. So, like, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're finally going to see the Europeans and Canada step in and be the neighbors that they tell everybody that they are? Because largely, they haven't done shit. I know a lot of the European nations have taken in refugees from Ukraine, which is something, because that taxes the system, it taxes the economy there, the welfare systems, whatever you call it, because it's all different in every country and things. And obviously, those are much smaller countries. They have, you know, a little bit, it's a very different discussion, but they haven't given the way that we have, and they haven't been come back to and demanded military support and demanded money. So I saw a recording too. Zelensky wants more money, or he asks that credit will be extended. Oh, they'll pay the money back after the war. Well, okay. So here, let me ask this. You want credit extended. So basically a loan, because that's what we're talking about here, right? You want a loan from the United States after we've already given you however many, let's say it's $100 billion, because it's got to be fucking close at this point, right? $100 billion, right? And now you want more money, and now, oh, so anything after the original $100 billion, now, oh, then we'll pay that. We'll pay anything after that back. Well, what about the rest? You can't account for the rest. We've not seen a public accounting of that. At least, I mean, I would love, if that's incorrect or incomplete, please, one of you guys listening, email us, prepared.mindset.podcast@gmail.com. Email me or message me on Instagram if you listen to this and correct me. But I don't think we've seen a public accounting of where all that money went, where they've spent all of that money. And he wants credit now? Oh, we promise we'll pay it back. Well, okay, so if let's assume everything is above board to this point, right? Let's assume that they've spent all this money on ammunition and rifles and artillery and aid and supplies and food and water and infrastructure, right? A, you should be able to publicly account for it. But if you already spent all that other money on that, where, assumingly, it's because you ran out of money yourself to fund this endeavor. So when are we going to get that money back if it's a loan? Is it going to be 10 years? If that war were to end tomorrow, would it be 10 years before we started getting that money back? Because you're rebuilding an entire economic infrastructure at this point. Right? Because that country is war-torn and ravaged. I mean, it sucks. The people living there, yeah, it's very unfortunate. I'm not trying to say that it's not. However, when would we get our money back? Because I don't live in Ukraine. None of us, most of us listening to this, we don't live in Ukraine. And as such, we have to be as neighborly as we can, but we also have to keep in mind that we have to take care of our own home. That's like me taking the clothes off my own child's back, which I don't have children, but you guys, you know, we're talking hypothetically here. That'd be like me going, hey, I know it's 10 degrees outside, but give me your winter coat and I'm going to go give it to this other kid. I don't know him. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. I don't know if we'll ever get your coat back. But here, you'll hopefully be okay. We can't do that to ourselves. We spent the last 4 years doing that to ourselves, and look at the state of our economy. Look where inflation's at. Look at where prime rates are at, financially speaking, right? Like, look at the situation that we're living in, and then we're supposed to give you more of our hard-earned money. Like, I work damn hard for my money. I go work 40-plus hours every week on top of doing the podcast and everything, right? I want to go out and be able to enjoy my life. I want to be able to have at some point, be able to, you know, have my home paid off here in a relatively reasonable way, that when I get to my older years, I'm going to be able to just sit back and relax because I fucking worked for it. Not because, you know, all my money went out the window and we drove interest rates through the fucking roof and we couldn't afford to live. It's just, it's insane. And this all ties back eventually, right? It comes back to these demands, right? That Ukraine wants everybody to step in and fight for them. They want to be part of NATO. They want NATO to step in and fight this battle for them so they don't have to, which, a couple things there. If we were to admit Ukraine to NATO, which there's reasons why we won't or haven't, and I'm not necessarily need to get into that in this discussion, but if that's the case and we were to admit them tomorrow into NATO, why would we need to give them more funding? Because if NATO steps in, then everybody else has to foot the bill for the funding. And here's up to this point, we already, the US pays 16% of NATO's budget. Pulled this was in an article on Fox that I found as well. We already pay six, and everyone knew this. Like, this isn't surprising to anybody that we foot the bill for, like, UN and NATO and all that shit. Like, the U.S. pay, that's why our national, I'm not unconvinced that that's not, like, we can't pay for all the rest of the world's peacekeeping and aid efforts And then also address our own national debt. And people all over this country freak the fuck out when you talk about pulling out of NATO, pulling out of the UN, cutting funding from the UN, the Paris Agreement and everything about climate control and climate change and shit like that. And it's like, where the, like, everything costs money. Where the fuck is it coming from? We also, by the way, which I found, I did not know this. I was very interested to see this. US has put up trade tariffs, which everyone hates Trump for tariffs and everything, but we've been doing this for fucking ever to the benefit of European nations. It results in $160 billion surplus for them. But that's okay. Trump was an asshole before for that. Tariffs weren't bad for that when it was giving Europe everything they needed to go be this utopia of gun-free, you know, existence where everyone's happy. By the way, Apple, as I'm thinking about this, Apple actually just reversed their position on not allowing governments into data, and they start with the UK. So the United Kingdom that has people going door to door to people's homes for shit they're fucking posting on social media because they don't have a First Amendment guarantee. Now Apple is furthering that effort by allowing the British government into their data for people that use iPhones, which sets a pretty dangerous precedent when you think about it, because what's to stop them from doing it here in the US? Our government has already, we've already been, you know, pretty crystal clear determining that our government looks into data on people. We track people online. Patriot Act this, you know, like Patriot Act that. We know that the shit's being monitored, right? We know that it is. And for some people, that's why they kept the iPhones, right? Was because, hey, they won't open up to this. We had school shootings and things where Apple would not release the sensitive data on the phones and devices of some of these people. We had mass shootings and terrorist attacks. Apple would not open up the device because it specifically went against their policies. And as upsetting as it was, from a moral standpoint and a principle standpoint, you had to almost respect it, right? And now they're backing down on that to help support a overstepping, potentially fascist government in the United Kingdom where they are jailing and fining people for offensive posts on social media. And that's pretty fucked up. It's pretty fucked up, you guys. And yeah, so to keep looking further down in this, like, we already do so much with the U.S. We patrol sea lanes. We deter terrorist activity basically globally, right? Like, we can't do everything, but, like, we do a whole hell of a lot. And while Ukraine, again, they're not currently in NATO, they're better armed after all this, or they should be better armed than most NATO countries. Because if you look at it, Europe has been de-escalating their footprint in terms of their military footprint. Basically, Europe has been. Europe is very liberal in most of their governing tactics, right? So looking at like the United Kingdom, where you can't own firearms, so many nations in Europe where you can't own firearms, or you're very restricted to the firearms that you have access to, and, you know, concealed carry is not a thing there. And if you want to hear more about what happens with all that, the Paris attacks in 2015 and whatnot, you can pause this. You can go back to the episode, the discussion I had on modern terrorism with Joe Fasanella just a couple weeks ago, where he went pretty in-depth on the terror attack in Paris and the police response there. Because here's the thing, we have law enforcement and police officers in this country that step into their job that have shooting backgrounds. They're able to step into the role of a peace officer. And they're already able to shoot better because of our culture and our Second Amendment rights here in this country than the standard individual would be able to. You don't have that in Europe. So when you have terrorist attacks with guys spraying AKs and shit all over the place, your law enforcement is not in a position to be a deterrent, to be an effective solution to that problem. They have to sit and wait while people die for a more trained element to show up and support. But I digress. So what are Zelensky's options? We're getting all this. Like, what are his options? What can he realistically? He's sitting here. He's picking a fight with U.S. leadership, essentially, over his personal entitlement and belief that he deserves more from us in terms of support. Right. So what are his options? He could fucking wait. He could wait 4 years and hope that a Democrat wins the next election. My personal belief is that won't be what happens. Not the part that he won't wait. The part that I don't think the Democrats will win again. At least not the next administration or in 4 years, because I think that as fucked up as everything was through COVID, I think America as a whole, whether they love Donald Trump or hate him, saw how bad things got and how quickly they got there and don't want to go back. And I think that in 3 years' time when we start seeing the campaigning again, I think that it'll still be fresh enough in everybody's minds. Those wounds will still be raw enough that we will see a second Republican administration in the next election. Whether that's J.D. Vance or somebody else, I don't know. But that's just my personal opinion. Now, beyond that, I don't know. So he could wait 4 years and hope that we get a sympathetic Democratic administration. Because, hey, we could also end up with a Democratic administration that sees the public response to all this and goes, hey, we just can't fucking do it, man. Like, we'd love to. We love you guys. Like, love for Ukraine or whatever, but we can't do it. It would be political suicide. And politicians are nothing if not concerned for their own well-being and future above all else. He could pray that the European nations do a 180 and start arming themselves again and come to his aid and step in, which is unlikely. And here's the thing, that would also probably take several years. You can't just up and do an about face and in 6 weeks' time have your country go from a posture of, pacifism to retooling your manufacturing and start setting yourself up to stock arms and ammunition and things. Like, you could do it, it's just not going to be fast. So again, that's you're still playing the long game here. Or he could give in. He could do what Trump wants. He could sign this. I guess there's some deal that Trump wants with the rare earth metals over there, which if they don't have any money to pay us back, then give us what you do have, which rare earth metals, you guys know, with smartphone technology, with just technology in general and how valuable that shit is in a variety of applications, right? If that's what you have to give us back and you can't pay us cash, like, that's what you think about it this way. Hey, I can't pay my car loan. Well, then we're going to repossess the fucking car. We're going to get what we can for the car. And then the difference there, you're still going to be liable for that if there is a difference, right? Same concept here. Hey, you don't have any money to pay us back? Cool. Well, what do you have? Natural resources? Cool. We're going to come for that. Sign the deal and it is what it is. Like, I don't know the specifics of that. I'm just trying to give you guys the high level on this. I don't know. We'll wait and see what happens. I don't for 1 minute believe this will be the last meeting. I think Zelensky has the stones that he'll come back and demand more money. He'll sit there and pander to the global media saying how awful the United States is for not helping them. And, he never shows up in a fucking suit either. He never shows up looking like an actual distinguished leader. He always tries to look like he's some kind of battlefield leader or battlefield general wearing like fucking fatigue pants and that stupid fucking military sweater and shit. Like, he's out there fighting on the front lines. Like, dude, you don't have a military background. I love the videos. It's like America's Got Talent, but for Ukraine, of him dancing in like a fucking crop top with like fucking heels on and everything. Like, dude is not a military leader in any stretch of the imagination. I love seeing the videos of him wearing a fucking helmet and a flak vest and everything. Like, he's out there on the front lines. He's the fucking president. He ain't out there in the fucking front lines doing shit. It's pandering to the media, and it used to be a hell of a lot more believable 100 years ago when we didn't have the fucking internet. Well, it's 2025, and we all have enough reasonable common sense to know he's not out there fighting anyone. His people are out there fighting and dying. And I can respect him trying to secure funding if I actually thought that the fucking funding were going to go help his people. But as much money as we've sent over there and as much supplies as we have, I sincerely doubt that that's the real case. So moving on now. I'm just fired up. I fucking hate that whole thing. So let's talk a little bit about Israel and Hamas. Just a little pulse check here on what's going on. This has been an ongoing issue, right, since October 7th of 2023, which, again, the October 7th attack kind of reignited this, this fear that some people here in the U.S. had of terrorist attacks, because this was not a, slow escalation into conflict. This was a surprise attack by Hamas on Israel on October 7th. And it's probably going to go down in history that way, because it's been a long conflict. And when they attacked, they killed 1,200 people, abducted like 250. And it's been a big deal. And one of the things that the Biden administration pandered to the media about is, we will not rest until we get those hostages released, because they had several Americans. I think over 100 were American or something like that. That didn't happen. At least not. I mean, it did happen eventually with the Biden administration technically still being in office, but everybody who came out and said we achieved this together was thanking Donald Trump and his team for getting the deal over the finish line. And I think I even talked about it on a sit rep discussion when the Biden administration's press secretary came out and said, and basically tried taking all the credit to the Biden administration. It was like the, it was right before Biden left office. I remember because I was traveling for work. I was in Indianapolis watching some of the press coverage in my hotel room, thinking how ridiculous it was that people would actually believe her saying, you know, people can say whatever they want, but ultimately we got it done. We're the ones in office. We got it done. But what's going on right now, right? So Israel announced today, or at least at the time of this recording, so Sunday, March 2nd, they announced that they're stopping the flow of all goods and supplies into the Gaza Strip. And they're going to escalate that beyond even doing that if a new agreement is not reached for an extension to the ceasefire agreement that's currently in place between Israel and Hamas. And so basically they're trying to cut them off, starve them out type thing, right? Because they want an extension. There's certain demands they want agreed to, which is that they want the release of the hostages that Hamas is holding before they're willing to move forward. And basically Hamas is accusing Israel of trying to derail this whole truce and the negotiations. Again, pulled this off Fox News, like full transparency, guys. These are not my words. Some of them are, but this high level stuff is not mine. But is interesting. And they're saying that the decision to cut off aid was cheap extortion. This is the quote, right? Cheap extortion, a war crime, and a blatant attack on the agreement. Is it not a war crime to murder? Well, okay, it's not a war crime, I don't think. But I think a lot of the shit that Hamas does is definitely falls into the war crime category. I mean, you took fucking hostages. You're a terrorist organization. You're fucking terrible human beings by any definition and imagination of the word, and you hide behind a thinly veiled concept of you're the true victims here. And I know there's a lot of territorial disputes in the Middle East, and we could definitely spend hours and hours and hours getting into the history behind a lot of that. And I would urge you guys to read into it. It goes back to things like the Beirut bombings and shit like that, and even further. Like the geopolitical storyline to all of this is so long, it's ridiculous. But so it's an ongoing issue, and Hamas is a confirmed terrorist organization, is what it is. So I find it hilarious. Me personally, I find it hilarious that they're calling this cheap extortion when it's a basic tactic. Like in war, it's done all the time. You cut off the supply lines, and you force them to find. And because you know what it does, it forces a peaceable resolution, potentially. Right? Hey, we don't have any food and water. We can't fight this because we get into a conflict. We can't survive the battle because we don't have water. We don't have medical supplies. We don't have ammunition. Like it is a effective tactic towards a peaceable resolution. And if both sides actually want that the way that they claim to the media, then this shouldn't be as big of an issue as they're making it sound like. But I guess this, an Israeli official made a statement saying that this decision was made working with the Trump administration. So maybe that's why it's more peaceable and less violent. I don't know for sure. But the current goal, I guess, is an extension to the ceasefire that's in place right now, at least to get them through Ramadan and Passover at the end of April. And I guess this whole suggestion, this whole strategy of what's being carried out right now, this was made by the envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff. And under this deal, Hamas would release half the hostages on the first day of the deal, which I think I'm pretty sure did happen. But the remainder would happen when an agreement is reached on a permanent ceasefire. And that's the problem, is that the permanent part is not happening. There's a lot of back and forth on this. I think they still have, based off what I read, 59 hostages, Hamas does. But 32 of those are believed to be dead. So really, it's like 27. And you have to answer for that shit at some point. They're going to have to answer for that. I know there were beheadings. There's deaths. If they're supposed to be prisoners of war hostages, you're supposed to, if we're talking about war crimes, because they started throwing that phrase around, right? There's certain rules to how you should, in warfare, treat your prisoners or hostages, right? You know, there's humane treatments, Geneva Convention, all that stuff like comes into the discussion to some degree. You're not supposed to fucking kill them. And here's the thing. Whether you murdered them or they died under your care because of the poor conditions you kept them in, you're still ultimately responsible. So this is not going to go away overnight. This is going to be a real involved discussion, whatever path towards resolution we take, and definitely more to come on that. But wanted to bring an update forward because it's still something that, you know, Trump and his team, they've made comments about taking control of the Gaza Strip. I don't know how realistic that is. I pray to God that it doesn't actually happen, because deploying troops to a foreign nation is almost never a viable solution for the issue. But it may happen. We'll have to wait and see. But the last topic here, so we're rolling up on, this is crazy. Like, this is why I kind of, like, I know some of you guys probably hate the sit rep discussions. This is why I kind of fucking love the sit rep discussions, because it's a solo discussion. It's just me sitting here doing my thing, and we're getting ready to roll up on the 45-minute mark already. Oh, man, good stuff. So this is the last topic I want to hit on today, is that Kash Patel has officially been confirmed as the new director of the Federal Bureau of Investigations, or FBI, you know, for brevity's sake. So he's also, though, been appointed as the acting director of the ATF, or the BATFE, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which is very interesting, because so Kash Patel, former prosecutor, a lot of people are very familiar with him. A lot of people in leadership positions in the government didn't want him taking over, because the same reason people are upset about Doge and Pete Hegseth is they don't want change. They're very scared of the change this is going to bring. And there's comments being thrown around all over the place by, you know, retired agents of the ATF and FBI saying, oh, this is going to be detrimental. It won't let we won't be able to do our jobs. And they're trying to hamstring the agency. You know, Kash Patel's a right wing extremist because of his beliefs around gun control and things like that. And here's what's up. I think this is going to be a great thing for lawful gun owners, because at no point, I don't think anybody wants to eliminate, you know, like the laws around the base laws, I should say, around firearms. I don't think anybody wants to necessarily do that. We're not trying to make this the wild, wild fucking West. But those of us who've been in the game for a second, we know the government's made some pretty strong efforts over the last 50 years, specifically, to try and erode gun ownership and gun rights in the Second Amendment in this country, and largely they've been pretty fucking successful. So I think what this move does, first and foremost, is hopefully going to help in carrying out Trump's February 7th executive order to Attorney General Bondi to research gun control legislation and violations of Americans' Second Amendment rights. We did a whole sit rep around that because of how important and how impactful that executive order is, and specifically because I think that's how executive orders are meant to be issued. It wasn't to do anything. We're not changing anything here. The executive order was, you are going to. Jeez. Sorry, guys. The order itself was that the Attorney General will carry out the investigation, will do the research, will do the digging to determine how many violations and reductions and things against the Second Amendment that there currently are on the books. That includes opinion letters issued by the ATF, because they're not a legislative body. They're a law enforcement agency. So their job is not to create policy or law. It is simply to carry out what's on the books. And for over a decade now, things like pistol braces and things like that, opinion letters from the ATF have been used as legal ammunition to charge people, to imprison people, to take away and strip away rights of Americans who are trying to be law-abiding. And it's a moving target, because these opinion letters would be revised every year, every 6 months, every 8 months, whatever. And, oh, what was legal, and you invested hundreds of dollars into 5AR pistols because that's what you wanted. Ooh, now your pistol braces, it's illegal. It's null and void. And then you go through and you pay your tax stamp money. You spend $1,000 on those five rifles for your $200 tax stamps, whatever. Ooh, you know what? We were wrong. We changed our position again because we lost in court. And it's like, okay, so you are nickel and diming these people. And then now that these are actually NFA items, you have even more purview and control as a government into those. And that's to say nothing of what I think of the NFA and how ridiculous I think it is. But it's the reality. So we're speaking of it in present terms, right? So this is a big deal. And this appointment to this acting director role came a few days, honestly, after I think it was Attorney General Bondi, if I'm not mistaken. She fired a longtime ATF general counsel. I forget the lady's name, but she's been there like 20 plus years. And she's the one obviously helping to drive this legislative agenda behind so much of what the ATF has done. And here's the thing that always gets me. ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, right? And it's funny, not funny, but the Waco standoff, actually, I think it's February 28th was when it started. So just a couple days ago, that the ATF bungled. Like, I think a lot of people had like a weird, like a laissez-faire type of attitude and a view of the ATF prior to all of that. And then after that, I think everyone's hated the ATF since because of Ruby Ridge and because of Waco and how those two things were handled. I really do think that the ATF needs a serious, serious top-down reimagining, re-envisioning, restructuring. And this general counsel, by all, I mean, she's been there since, if it's been 20-plus years, at least since the Bush administration, if not longer, needs to go. Because basically since then, you're talking about the expiration of the assault weapons ban in this country, which is basically when the official war on American Second Amendment rights really began, essentially. Pistol braces, SBRs, suppressors, force reset triggers, all this shit. Like, I know the NFA is much older than that, but there were some fairly concerted efforts, and I think you'll all agree with me when I say that, towards eroding the Second Amendment and all out just trying to remove it. This woman, as general legal counsel, I don't think was a positive part of that in terms of our preservation of our American Second Amendment rights. That's my opinion. I don't have specifics on it, but obviously we know what the agency in general has done. So has a higher up, clearly a part of the overall strategy. So Patel is now the acting director, taking over for the previous acting director, Marvin Richardson, who's basically been in that role for like a month, because he stepped in after Stephen Dettelbach resigned in January. That dude got the hell out of town. He waited till January. He stayed in the office to do as much as he could under the Biden administration's agenda. And then like middle of January or whatever, when Trump was getting ready to take office, he got the fuck out of town. Nope, I'm resigning. I'm done. And, you know, it's like, okay, cool. They gave him a ghost gun that can't be tracked, ironically, as a going away gift, which is hilarious considering, the super strong agenda that the ATF has against the danger of ghost guns. I guess Richardson had been previously the acting director of the ATF. I think it was under the Obama administration. Like, I think he was the acting director before Dettelbach got confirmed. I know we all remember was David Chipman, I think, was the former ATF agent that they were trying to force in when Biden first got into office. And because of his, I'll say, radical agenda and his very public and very obvious efforts and works with a lot of gun control lobbyist groups and things like that, he did not make it through confirmation, thank God. But I digress. So I think that getting, you know, Kash Patel confirmed was a huge step in the right direction, not just for the Trump administration, but I think for the American people, because the perception of the Fed, and here's the thing, I know a lot of people have a very poor opinion of the FBI, the ATF, of all federal law enforcement agencies. And I'll say I don't think that that's like unfounded. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons, that justified reasons for people to feel that way, given the way a lot of things have been handled, you've had ATF agents knocking on people's doors over force reset triggers that were purchased and things like that legally. And then there's a video that went around, the female ATF agent that's basically wearing like a 10-inch steel gong or an 8-inch steel gong in her plate carrier. Because hilarious, right? Like, you don't even know what kind of armor to put in your carrier, but you bought that fucking thing. And we're asking questions in a way to try to get the guy to self-incriminate. And those are the videos that get out there. And that's the message you send to the American people, is not that you're just trying to preserve law and order and safety of the American people. It's that you're out there trying to imprison people. You're trying to catch people and trap them. And the FBI, certainly with everything that went on during the last Trump administration and afterwards, right? Things that come to mind is the raid at Mar-a-Lago. Ooh, Trump had classified documents. That's a whole ordeal. He's gonna be brought up on charges. When the classified documents were found left out on Biden's fucking Corvette in his garage, just hanging out all willy-nilly, classified documents, no big deal, right? That lack of, what's the fucking word I'm looking for here? Impartiality is what has driven people to lose a lot of trust in these federal agencies, because the FBI has basically become a political weapon, where politicians are sicking the FBI on each other for investigations to drive political agendas and leveraging those against the mainstream media to smear their opponents. It's a huge fucking problem. And here's the bigger issue with all that, is that, like, there are some good people that work in those federal agencies. There really are. there's a lot of good people there doing good work, fighting the good fight, trying to put bad people behind bars. There really is. The issue, though, is we don't ever hear about that anymore. We don't see that anymore because there's so much bad shit happening at the upper levels because of poor leadership that you can't ignore it. And I think, or at least it is my sincere hope, that by having Kash Patel in now as the director of the FBI and acting director of the ATF, and who knows what will happen with that, right? But that you will see drastic sweeping changes and reorganization. I know the administration has already ordered federal employees back to physical work locations. Now, as somebody who works fully remote, like, yeah, that kind of sucks. But at the same time, you have to understand that you're not a for-profit entity. You're the U.S. fucking government, regardless of which branch you work in, FBI, ATF, IRS, whatever. You're funded by taxpayer dollars. So if you're taking three-hour lunches every day and not getting shit done on the taxpayer dime, like, that needs to get fixed. Some people, I think, are afraid. I think that they are imagining, and I say that because it's a little bit early in the game to start drawing some of these parallels and conclusions, that we're going to start seeing some less than kosher governmental activity. You know, certainly we want to keep our government in check. People are afraid that you're going to see a merger between the FBI and the ATF. would that be bad? Maybe. That could be bad. It could also be good. I don't know. It depends on how you do it. And I think that's just a fear that's put out right now. There's not, to my knowledge, been any actual announcement that that's a plan or a strategy or a goal. But I know that a lot of people, if we were to just liquidate and dismantle the ATF, I don't know that too many people would be outraged about that. You know who would be upset about that? Liberals who want all firearms gone and former ATF agents looking for an opportunity to get their name in the media. That's who I think would be most outraged by that. And here's a better question. If it's the ATF, right, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and I was going to say this earlier and I got off on a tangent, how come we don't hear any news about them pursuing alcohol or tobacco? When's the last time we heard of a illegal cigarette raid? Like, that's surely that's got to be a thing, right? People still smoke cigarettes. Tobacco is still a big industry, right? Why don't we hear about that? With all these craft distilleries, right? Craft breweries, things that are popping up across the country, because it's a very popular thing right now to drink a lot. I'm not saying alcoholism's on the rise or running rampant. I'm saying that you see today far more brands of vodka, certainly bourbon, whiskey, gin, all that, right? You see all that stuff popping up all over the place. So alcohol is a big market. It's a huge industry. It's well regulated, right? Why don't we ever hear about those? I know there's been shit with, like, the investigation into the thefts and stuff. What is it? Down in Tennessee, or sorry, Kentucky, the Louisville, some of the distilleries there having barrels stolen over, like, a decade and shit. We don't hear about that at a national level. The ATF, I don't even think was even involved in that. So it and I think that's part of the problem, is that at least the public perception is that this is purely a law enforcement wing dedicated to eroding the Second Amendment and stripping away the rights of American civilians, or American citizens, rather, I'm sorry, in regards to their gun ownership. They have, for the size of the agency, they have become singularly focused on attacking Americans. We don't see it in any other way. Part of that may be mainstream media, but I really don't think that's the biggest part of the problem. I think it's actually that they've been, again, like I said a moment ago, they have been weaponized by politicians to push agendas to take away arms from American citizens. So I do. I think that if Kash Patel is the acting director and has the opportunity to reorganize, restructure, and realign the scope of focus for the ATF, if that were to leave those two departments, those two agencies, right, to be completely separate still, hey, maybe this is for the better then. Maybe it is. We'll see. I mean, it's very early on. I think it's premature at best, the way that some people are jumping to the conclusion that his end goal is to liquidate and just end the ATF and open the floodgates for complete and unfettered access to all firearms for Americans. I don't think that's the end game here. I think that pursuant of the executive order that Trump gave out, they just want to restore our Second Amendment rights. Let's get back to a net zero, right? hey, a lot of this stuff is an infringement against the Second Amendment, whether you like it or not. And here's the thing. A lot of the stuff that everyone screams on, you know, liberal media and stuff about being the big issue in this country aren't even the real issues. Oh, you shouldn't have fully automatic firearms. Most people don't want that. I mean, people want it, but like, we're not upset about that for the most part. Like, we can't afford the ammo. What we're upset about is the unconstitutional tax stamps. So remember, we became a country over taxes, right? To buy things like a suppressor, which, hey, we all shoot 5.56, right? For the most part, it's not even hearing safe with a suppressor. You know, oh, hey, your barrel length is arbitrarily under a length defined by people who don't even know shooting. Now you got to pay a $200 tax stamp. Okay. Oh, I want to manufacture my own shit. Got to pay a tax stamp. Why? If you want to go ahead and try and do that shit, and you think you can work a lathe and a press mill to do it, go ahead. Good luck not blowing up your hand. Like, I think that's how most of us see it at this point. I really do. So I think that this opportunity, excuse me, I think this opportunity is what we've been waiting for. I think it's what we need, and I think it's going to help, if it's successful, the way I think it might be, it's going to help to restore some of the faith in the American government by actually giving back people their rights. Not adding to them. Again, per what Trump said in that executive order, we're not adding anything. We are restoring what was taken away illegally and unconstitutionally. So, thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening to me rant. We're at an hour now, so I love doing these, and then I kind of hate it too, because once I pass this like 45-50 minute mark, my voice is just totally shot. So, thank you guys for hanging out and listening. Hopefully this is of value and at least of interest. I love doing these. I may have another one this month. Who knows? As things break and news continues to develop. But that's all I have for you guys for this iteration of the Sunday Sit Rep. Thank you so much for hanging out and joining us. Again, we love and thank you guys so much for your support. Again, check out our YouTube channel. We're on Instagram. Make sure you guys like and follow us there. The bigger we grow, the more we can do. So with your guys' support, your viewership, if you're listening to this right now, whatever platform you're on, hit the like, hit the subscribe button, leave a comment, if you have one, and help us reach more people, help support the mindset and everything that we're doing here. But that's all for me, folks. Until next time, you guys, stay safe out there, and like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, be prepared.